Chapter 6 Foolish Tootles was standing like a conqueror over Wendy's body when the other boys sprang, armed, from their trees. Tinkerbell flew about high above in the branches, laughing in triumph.
Oh, now it's poor Wendy.
Ha ha! You are too late, boys. I've shot the Wendy. Oh, Peter will be so pleased with me.
What a silly ass.
Tinkerbell, secretly pleased with herself, now darted into hiding. The others did not hear her. They had crowded round Wendy, and as they looked, a terrible silence fell upon the wood. If Wendy's heart had been beating, they would all have heard it. Slightly was the first to speak.
This is no bird. I think this must be a lady.
A lady?
Tootles fell a-trembling.
And we have killed her.
They all whipped off their caps.
Now I see. Peter was bringing her to us.
Curly threw himself sorrowfully on the ground.
A lady to take care of us at last,
said one of the twins. The other followed.
And you have killed her.
They were sorry for him, but sorrier for themselves. And when he took a step nearer them, they turned from him. His face was very white. But there was a dignity about him now that had never been there before.
I did it,
Tootle said, reflecting.
When ladies used to come to me in dreams, I said, oh, pretty mother, pretty mother. But when at last she really came, I shot her.
Tootles moved slowly away. The others called him back in pity.
Don't go.
Stay.
Don't go.
Go, Tootles.
Don't go.
Tootles was shaking.
I must. I'm so afraid of Peter.
It was at this tragic moment that they heard a sound which made the heart of every one of them rise to his mouth. They heard Peter crow.
It's Peter.
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 They knew it was Peter, for it was always thus that he signalled his return.
Hide her.
Hide.
Twins, jump in front of her.
Let us all form a shield.
They whispered and gathered hastily around Wendy. But Tootles stood aloof. Again came that ringing crow, and Peter dropped in front of them.
Greetings, boys. I am back.
Mechanically, they all saluted, and then again was silence. Peter frowned.
Oh, I am back. Why do you not cheer?
They opened their mouths, but the cheers would not come. He overlooked it in his haste to tell the glorious tidings.
Great news, boys! I have brought, at last, a mother for you all!
Still no sound, except a little thud from Tootles as he dropped on his knees.
Have you not seen her? She flew this way.
Oh, ah me!
A mournful day!
Tootles rose, pale-faced but determined.
Peter, I will show her to you.
When the others would still have hidden her, he said,
Back, twins. Let Peter see.
Oh, Tootles, must we really?
Back, twins.
All right.
So they all stood back and let him see. And after he had looked for a little time, he did not know what to do next.
She is dead. Perhaps she is frightened at being dead.
He thought of hopping off in a comic sort of way till he was out of sight of her, and then never going near the spot any more. They would all have been glad to follow if he had done this. But there was the arrow. He took it from her heart and faced his band.
Whose arrow? Whose arrow?
Mine, Peter.
Oh, dastard hand.
Peter raised the arrow to use it as a dagger. Tootles did not flinch. He bared his breast.
Strike, Peter. Strike true.
Twice did Peter raise the arrow.
Cannot.
And twice did his hand fall.
I cannot strike. There is something stays my hand.
All looked at him in wonder, save Nibs, who fortunately looked at Wendy.
It is she, the Wendy lady. See? Her arm.
Wonderful Wendy, to relate. Wendy had raised her arm. Nibs bent over her and listened reverently.
I think she said, poor Tootle.
She lives!
The Wendy lady lives!
Then Peter knelt beside her and found the acorn that he had given her.
Ha-ha!
You remember? She had put it on a chain that she wore round her neck.
See? The arrow struck against this. It is the kiss I gave her. It has saved her life. Oh, I have saved her life.
I remember kisses.
Slightly interposed quickly.
Let me see it. Aye, that's a kiss.
Peter did not hear him. He was begging Wendy to get better quickly so that he could show her the mermaids. Of course, she could not answer yet, being still in a frightful faint. But from overhead came a wailing note.
Always ruining my plans.
Listen to Tink. She is crying because the Wendy lives.
Silly little lubberwort.
Tootles, you have to tell Peter what Tink
did. Yes, tell him that Tink made you hurt her.
Almost never had they seen Peter look so stern.
Tink. I am your friend no more.
It was only a joke.
Be gone from me. Forever.
She flew onto his shoulder and pleaded
Peter,
with him.
You want me to leave because of this little scalpy limmer and a funny little prank?
I do.
But Peter, I'm your fairy. I can't very well leave.
No, no more, Tink. You are banished.
Oh, Peter, please don't say such things. Peter, don't send me away.
But Peter brushed her off. Not until Wendy again raised her arm did he relent sufficiently to say,
well, not forever, but for a whole week.
Do you think Tinkerbell was grateful to Wendy for raising her arm? Oh dear, no. Never wanted to pinch her so much. Fairies indeed are strange, and Peter, who understood them best, often cuffed them. But what to do with Wendy in her present delicate state of health?
Let us carry Wendy down into the house.
Aye, that is what one does with ladies.
No, no, you must not touch her. It would not be sufficiently respectful.
That is what I was thinking.
But if she lies there, she will die. We cannot have her die.
Aye, she will die. But there is no way out. There is nothing to do.
Yes, there is. Let us build a little house round her.
Oh, what a wonderful thought, Peter.
That is what one does with a lady.
A lady like Wendy.
How exciting.
They were all delighted.
Quick, bring me each of you the best of what we have. Gut our house. Be sharp.
In a moment, they were as busy as tailors the night before a wedding. They scurried this way and that, down for bedding, up for firewood. Pockets rummaged through his pockets. And while they were at it, who should appear but John and Michael? As they dragged along the ground, they fell asleep standing. Stopped, woke up, moved another step, and slept again.
John! John! Wake up! Where is Nana and Mother?
And then John would rub his eyes and mutter,
it is true. We did fly.
You may be sure they were very relieved to find Peter.
Hello. Peter.
Hello.
Replied Peter amicably, though he had quite forgotten them. He was very busy at the moment, measuring Wendy with his feet to see how large a house she would need. Of course, he meant to leave room for chairs and a table. John and Michael watched him.
One, two,
Is Wendy asleep?
Yes.
John, let us wake her and get her to make supper for us.
But as he said it, some of the other boys rushed on, carrying branches for the building of the house.
Peter, I found a piece of rope.
The twins and I found branches.
I found some too, on the other side.
John! Look at them!
All right, boys.
All right, boys.
You go left.
You go left.
I'll go right. Hurry up.
Curly, see that these boys help in the building of the house.
Aye, aye, sir.
Build a house.
For Wendy.
For Wendy? Why, she is only a girl.
That is why we are her servants.
You? Wendy's servants?
Yes. And you also. Away with them.
Come along, strange.
The astounded brothers were dragged away to hack and hew and carry.
Chairs and a fender first. Then we shall build a house round them.
Aye, that is how a house is built. It all comes back to me.
Slightly.
Peter thought of everything.
Fetch a doctor, Slightly.
Aye. Aye, aye.
Slightly disappeared, scratching his head. But he knew Peter must be obeyed. And he returned in a moment, wearing John's hat and looking solemn.
Please, sir.
Peter went over to him.
Please, sir. Are you a doctor?
The difference between him and the other boys at such a time was that they knew it was make-believe, while to him, make-believe and true were exactly the same thing. This sometimes troubled them, as when they had to make-believe that they had had their dinners. If they broke down in their make-believe, he rapped them on the knuckles.
Yes, my little man.
Slightly anxiously replied, hiding his already chapped knuckles.
Please, sir, the lady lies very ill.
She was lying at their feet, but Slightly had the sense not to see her.
Where does she lie?
In yonder glade.
I will put a glass thing in her mouth,
said Slightly, and he made believe to do it while Peter waited. It was an anxious moment when the glass thing was withdrawn.
How is she?
This has cured her.
Whew. I am glad.
I will call again in the evening. Give her beef tea out of a cup with a spout to it.
But after he had returned the hat to John, he blew big breaths.
That was close.
Which was his habit when escaping from a difficulty.
Your hat.
Thank you.
Fetch some leaves.
In the meantime, the wood had been alive with the sound of axes. Almost everything needed for a cozy dwelling already lay at Wendy's feet.
If only we knew
the kind of house she likes best.
Peter, she is moving in her sleep.
Her mouth opens. Oh, lovely.
Perhaps she is going to sing in her sleep. Wendy. Wendy. Sing the kind of house you would like to have.
Immediately, without opening her eyes, Wendy began to sing.
I wish I had a pretty house the littlest ever seen, with funny little walls of red and roof of mossy green.
They gurgled with joy at this. For by the greatest good luck, the branches that they had brought were sticky with red sap, and all the ground was carpeted with moss. As they rattled up the little house, they broke into song themselves.
We've built the little walls and roof and made a lovely door. So tell us, Mother Wendy, what are you wanting more?
All about, with roses peeping in, you know, and babies peeping out.
With a blow of their fists, they made windows, and large yellow leaves were the blinds. But roses?
Roses.
Quickly, they made believe to grow the loveliest roses up the walls. Babies. To prevent Peter ordering babies, they hurried into song again.
We've met the roses peeping out, the babes are at the door. We cannot make ourselves, you know, because we've been made before.
Peter, seeing this to be a good idea, at once pretended that it was his own. The house was quite beautiful, and no doubt Wendy was very cosy within, though, of course, they could no longer see her. Peter strode up and down, ordering finishing touches. Nothing escaped his eagle eyes. Just when it seemed absolutely finished.
There's no knocker on the door.
A knocker?
Oh, what a shame.
Oh, I got it. Take the sole of my shoe.
Clever thinking, Tootles.
Try it. It makes an excellent knocker.
We must be absolutely finished now.
I think so too. Don't you, Peter?
Not a bit of it. There's no chimney. We must have
a
chimney.
Oh, it certainly does need a chimney.
This gave Peter an idea.
Oh, hello. I need your hat.
Oh, again?
He snatched the hat off John's head, knocked out the bottom, and put the hat on the roof. The little house was so pleased to have such a capital chimney that, as if to say thank you, smoke immediately began to come out of the hat. Now, really and truly, it was finished. Nothing remained to do but to knock.
There. Now it really and truly is finished. Right, Curly?
I agree, Pockets. Nothing remains now but to knock.
Now, we must all look our best. Pockets! Put your pockets back in your pockets. Remember, first impressions are awfully important.
He was glad no one asked him what first impressions are. They were all too busy looking their best. He knocked politely. And now the wood was as still as the children. Not a sound to be heard, except from Tinkerbell, who was watching from a branch and openly sneering.
I wonder if anyone would answer the knock.
If a lady, what would she be like?
The door opened, and a lady came out. It was Wendy. They all whipped off their hats. She looked properly surprised. And this was just how they had hoped she would look.
Where am I?
Of course, Slightly was the first to get his word in.
Wendy lady, for you we built this house.
Oh, say you are pleased.
Oh, you may... Oh, well, it's a lovely, darling house.
And they were the very words they had hoped she would say.
And we are your children!
Then all went on their knees. They held out their arms.
Oh, Wendy lady, be our mother.
Be our mother!
Please?
Ought I? Of course, it's frightfully fascinating, but you see, I am only a little girl. I have no real experience.
That doesn't matter.
Peter said this as if he were the only person present who knew all about it, though he was really the one who knew least.
What we need is just a nice motherly person.
Oh dear. You see, I feel that is exactly what I am.
It is.
Yes.
Saw it at once.
Very motherly.
Very well. I will do my best. Okay. Come inside at once, you naughty children. I am sure your feet are damp. And before I put you to bed, I have just time to finish the story of Cinderella.
Was that the lady with the glass slipper?
Oh, it is indeed, Tootles.
In they went. I don't know how there was room for them, but you can squeeze very tight in the Neverland. And that was the first of the many joyous evenings they had with Wendy. By and by, she tucked them up in the great bed in the home under the trees. But she herself slept that night in the little house, and Peter kept watch outside with a drawn sword. For the pirates could be heard carousing far away, and the wolves were on the prowl. The little house looked so cozy and safe in the darkness, with a bright light showing through its blinds and the chimney smoking beautifully, and Peter standing on guard. After a time he fell asleep, and some unsteady fairies had to climb over him on their way home from a fairy ball. Any of the other boys obstructing the fairy path at night, they would have mischieved. But they just tweaked Peter's nose and passed on.